Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for coming, and I'll read this statement, which is for immediate release. I am announcing today my candidacy for the presidency of the United States. The presidency is the most powerful office in the free world. Through its leadership can come a more vital life for all of our people. In it are centered the hopes of the globe around us for freedom and a more secure life. For it is in the executive branch that the most crucial decisions of this century must be made in the next 4 years. How to end or alter the burdensome arms race where Soviet gains have already threatened our very existence. How to maintain freedom and order in the newly emerging nations. How to rebuild the stature of American science and education. How to prevent the collapse of our farm economy and the decay of our cities. How to achieve, without further inflation or unemployment, expanded economic growth benefiting all Americans. And how to give direction to our traditional moral purpose, awakening every American to the dangers and opportunities that confront us. These are among the real issues of 1960. And it is on the basis of these issues that the American people must make their fateful choice for the future. In the past 40 months, I have toured every state in the Union, and I have talked to Democrats in all walks of life. My candidacy is therefore based on the conviction that I can win both the nomination and the election. I believe that any Democratic aspirant to this important nomination should be willing to submit to the voters his views, record, and competence in a series of primary contests. I am therefore now announcing my intention of filing in the New Hampshire primary, and I shall announce my plans with respect to other primaries as their filing dates approach. I believe that the Democratic Party has a historic function to perform in the winning of the 1960 election, comparable to the 1932 election. I intend to do my utmost to see that that victory is won. For 18 years, I have been in the service of the United States. For 4 years as a naval officer, and for the last 14 years as a member of the Congress. In the last 20 years, I have traveled to nearly every country and every continent, from Leningrad to Saigon, from Bucharest to Lima. From all of this, I have developed an image of America as fulfilling a noble and historic role as the defender of freedom in a time of maximum peril, and of the American people as confident, courageous, and persevering. It is with this image that I begin this campaign. I'd be glad to answer any questions anyone might have.
Senator, you do not want to leave any doubt about such contesting primaries as Wisconsin and Oregon, do you, in this state?
Well, I'm going to make a judgment on an announcement on those two primaries and other primaries, I would say within the next 5 or 6 weeks, certainly as the filing date approaches. Of course, in the case of Oregon, the candidates do not enter, but the Secretary of State enters. I have presumed that the Secretary of State would probably enter me, but I will make an announcement in regard to it in any case, and also in regard to Wisconsin, Nebraska, Indiana, Maryland, and other primaries.
What about Ohio?
Also Ohio.
California.
Have you heard from Governor DeSalle yet? He was supposed to have a conversation with him shortly after the first of the year on what his plans were. Have you had that conversation?
I expect to have it after the first, well, beginning, the first of the year begins today, so I expect to have it shortly.
Within the next few days.
I expect to be talking to him, yes. Excuse me? I'm sorry. The question was whether I've talked to Governor DeSalle. In the question was the statement that I had stated that I would talk to him after the first of the year. I said that I expect to do so.
What was the earliest date of that?
The question was, question was whether I was going to, what my position was on running in the Wisconsin and Oregon primary.
Senator, can you discuss the Florida primary generally, and specifically, can you tell us whether you've made a verbal commitment not to enter the Florida primary as Senator Smith has
done? No, I have not made any verbal commitment. And the Florida primary is one of the primaries which, on which I'll make a judgment and really rather an announcement in the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Senator, would you refuse the vice presidential nomination under any circumstances?
I will not be a candidate for vice president under any circumstances, and that is not subject to change by any conditions. I will not be a candidate. I will not be the nominee. I will not, therefore, accept a nomination for vice president under any conditions. And as I've stated, this will not be subject to change by any conditions. Because I'm a candidate for the presidency, and if I fail to achieve that nomination, then I shall return to the Senate. I think that I can, the vice presidency, the office really, is the powers are limited to presiding over the Senate, to voting in cases of ties, which Mr. Nixon's only had to do 8 or 10 or 12 times, and to watching the health of the president. And I would rather be in the Senate.
Senator, what about the California primary?
That is one of the primaries, of course, and I shall make a judgment on that and an announcement on that, on all primaries in the next, I would say, 6 weeks. But I shall run in a number of other primaries in addition to New Hampshire.
Senator, can you say anything about your campaign organization, particularly the role of people like Mr. Bailey and Governor Ribbicoff in Connecticut?
Well, Governor Ribbicoff has been my earliest supporter, and also Mr. Bailey since 1956, and I've relied very heavily upon them both. And we'll continue to do so.
Senator, have you chosen a national campaign manager yet?
No, and I have no plans to do so.
Is your brother Robert going to have a position in your...
Yes, he's going to help, definitely.
Can you tell us what that position will be?
No, but he'll play, a very helpful role. He managed my 52 campaign, and I think he'll play a very, helpful role this time. Well, I would put it really, the question was whether I constituted, whether I would interpret my remarks in regard to primaries and the necessity for candidates entering primaries as a direct challenge to Senator Symington to come in and get his feet wet. I would say that any candidate who plans to have his name presented as a serious candidate in July should enter some representative primaries. Now, I have no idea what Senator Symington's plans are. I would accept from that, of course, Governor Stevenson, for two reasons. First, because he's made it clear that he has no plans to be a candidate, and secondly, because he has campaigned both in 52 and 1956, and I think the Democratic Party and the country are aware of his character and qualities. I think the value of the primary system, really, is to permit the people as a whole, Democrats as a whole, to make their judgment, and also because it illuminates the quality of the candidate. And we can get a much better idea of what the potential of a candidate, both politically and as a potential president, would be after a series of primary contests. I was surprised, but didn't make me glad. I didn't have any really effect on me. In some ways, I think it makes Mr. Nixon's problem more difficult in some ways.
Who is your main threat among the Democratic candidates?
Well, I think that, I'm sorry, there was just a question as to who was I considered to be the main threat among the Democratic candidates. I think there are 4 or 5 candidates, and I don't think it will be possible for at least the next 2 or 3 months to make a judgment. My opinion is by May, we will have a pretty good idea who's going to get nominated in July. Because I think when the primaries are through, we're going to have a pretty clear idea, as to who is going to be the nominee. I don't believe there's going to be a deadlock convention. I don't agree with that concept at all. And I would think that even before the convention, the pattern would be quite clear. Well, the question was what kind of a campaign I plan to make in New Hampshire. I think the it depends really as to whether anyone else enters New Hampshire. If they don't enter New Hampshire, then I'll spend some days in New Hampshire in February and March. I'm sorry? Well, I hope to enter it with enough to be successful, but I have no, I haven't made a calculation. Well, Governor Patterson, if he continues, he's announced his support of me, and if he, and as far as I know, that support still stands. And it seems to me the real question here is that if I make, I think I've made my views quite precise on civil rights. I hope I have, and I'm delighted to do so in any time in the future. If anyone then decides they want to support me, knowing what my views are, it seems to me that that's within their rights. And that goes for anyone in the Democratic Party.
Do you favor the federal registrar's proposal on that?
Well, I would be inclined, I would be for anything which is necessary in order to protect the right to vote. Now, I thought that Title IV did that. It appears to it that it hasn't. And while I haven't seen the final version of the legislation, in fact, I understand no legislation has been introduced, I would be very interested to hear any objections to it, because I would be sympathetic and inclined to support any proposal which is constitutional and responsible and which will make it possible for all Negroes, all citizens to vote in all parts of the country, which I think must be one of the goals of the Congress this year. I can't give you much more of a precise view than that I'm inclined to support the concept. I haven't heard any of the discussion. I think that I'd like to hear some hearings on it. I'd like to hear what changes might be made in the proposal. I'd be interested in what the objections would be to it. And that's my view on it. Yes, I do. I would certainly think it would be in Oregon and perhaps other places. Well, I consider the bill, while it has some, it's not the bill that I proposed. It's different from the bill which passed the Senate, which I endorsed. It represented a compromise. We didn't achieve everything we wanted in the conference. There are provisions in it which are still unsatisfactory. But I recommended that the Senate adopt the bill. I believe overall it's a useful bill. I believe overall it's in the public interest. There are still provisions in it which I would rewrite if I had the opportunity. But overall, I support the bill. And I must say that I think if we had followed the policy and the procedures recommended by Senator Morse, we would have gotten no bill either this year, which would have given us a far worse situation next year, as we had a far worse situation this year than the year before, or we would have had the original Landrum-Griffin bill, which I think would have been a great mistake. So I think that the actions of the Senate, the actions of the Democratic Party, 64 out of 65, in supporting the conference report, I think indicates really where equity lay. Well, I'd say the number one issue is our relations with the Soviet Union and the Chinese. And therefore, I would say that in the elements of that relationship, I would say national defense is, at this particular time, is primary. So I would have to put national defense at the very top of the issues in 1960. There are other elements of foreign policy in our relations with the country which are also important. I would hope that disarmament, or at least in the atomic field, the cessation of tests could be achieved. I would hope as the third prong of what I would consider to be the most important parts of foreign policy. a more effective program of assistance by not only the United States, but the Western Europeans and the Japanese to the newly emerging countries. So I would say that these are all elements of the overall issue. National defense, we hope an agreement on testing, and even to proceed further than that if it's possible, though I agree that the atmosphere is cloudy now. And thirdly, to carry on a more effective program than this administration has been willing to support in the field of foreign aid.
Senator, you mentioned the Chinese. Does this foreshadow perhaps any indication of change in your thinking about recognition of Red China?
No, I think it would be a mistake today to recognize them, but I think that we ought to indicate our willingness to do so if they are willing to alter their policies towards us and towards South Asia. I don't think that we should adopt a policy which freezes us for the future. And I think that our conditions should be always told to the world. I don't think there should be any doubt that we would recognize them if the Red Chinese indicated and gave guarantees that they were willing to live in some sort of comity with us until they're willing to do so. And I don't think that they are today. I would not recognize them. I would bring about some change in our policy on some specific areas, I think Quemoy and Matsu. But on the overall question, I couldn't recognize, wouldn't be in favor of recognizing them today.
Senator, on the basis of your soundings about the country, can you tell us how much of a factor you think religion will be in this region?
Well, I think it would be a matter of discussion. And I think it would be in the press and among political leaders. It will be a matter of substantial discussion. Among the voters, I would think it's a matter of less importance. I would think that there is really only one issue involved in the whole question of a candidate's religion. That is, does the candidate believe in the Constitution? Does he believe in the First Amendment? Does he believe in the separation of church and state? Now, when the candidate's given his views on that question, and I think I've given my views very fully, I think the subject's exhausted. There are a great many important subjects which are going to be before us in 60, and I think for the United States to become involved in a campaign about a matter which is, after all, one which was settled 150 or 60 years ago, the Constitutional Convention settled this question to my satisfaction, I hope the satisfaction of all other Americans. Once that having been done, I see no value in discussing a matter which is that ancient when there are so many issues in the 60s which are going to be important. And I would think that if my candidacy resulted in that result, my candidacy would not have performed much of a national service. Will what? Well, my information has been, and my judgment would be, that the Labor, COPE, the UAW will take no position in the primaries of the Democratic Party. I haven't had a poll taken for. I saw one into which I participated in. It's. Having it taken within the last 2 months, and I did well in Ohio. Yes.
Senator, on the among your fellow Democrats, some of them have been unhappy about your stand in the past on the McCarthy issue. Looking back now over that period in the last decade, what do you think the effect on the United States of the McCarthy period?
Well, I think it had a adverse effect on our image abroad, and I think it had a divisive effect upon our posture here at home.
Senator, what do you think of the relative importance of the budget in the national defense? The Republican administration has been accused of sacrificing defense in the budget.
Well, the question was what my opinion was of the effect of the importance of the budget. Yes, well, I think that the proposed figure for the national defense is too low this year by a substantial percentage. Now, Mr. McElroy the other day, when he was asked whether the Russians would have a lead over us in missiles, said that if they would build all that they could, and we build all that we intended to build, that there could be a missile gap. Well, now, when you take out all the coulds and woulds, I go on the assumption that they will build all that they can. I'm going on the assumption that we're going to build what we've announced we will build, and therefore I think that there will be a missile gap. Now, in view of the fact that the Soviet Union was extremely bellicose about Berlin back in 1949 when we had the lead, I would assume that when Mr. Eisenhower leaves the White House at the end of 1960, after these conferences, which will absorb our attention this year, that the United States is going to then move into a period of a missile gap in which the Soviet Union will have an important, significant, I hope not decisive, lead in the area of missiles. I therefore feel that in this area and in other areas that we can compare the last 8 years to, in some ways, to the 20s. And that when Mr. Eisenhower leaves, that we will find ourselves with many problems facing in many areas, which will be, of course, placed on the next presidency. I don't think that we have reached any solution on any question in regard to the Soviet Union, though we have been now directly negotiating with them at Camp David, at Geneva, the two Geneva conferences, and there still is no agreement on any matter. So therefore, the struggle can continue at any time. And I think it's therefore the greatest mistake for us, for the Bureau of the Budget to set the figure, and then for the services to try to divide it on that basis. I would therefore favor a larger expenditure next year on defense.
Sir, my question is, would you place an adequate national defense ahead of the stability of the dollar?
Well, I'm not convinced you have to make that choice at this time. I think it's possible for us to secure greater expenditures for national defense. You can do it one of three ways. You either increase taxes, you can provide for deficit expenditures, or you can allocate your available money differently. And I would say that would be the judgment on using one of those three or all of those three weapons, which the next president would have to do.
Senator, what are the differences between your views and Senator Humphrey's? In other words, why should a person vote for you instead of the Senator from himself?
Well, I wouldn't attempt to answer that, and I think that the voters of probably some states will have a chance to make that judgment. I think everybody has an opinion on that question. Probably a lot of people have an opinion on that question already. There isn't. I don't think that there are substantive differences between Senator Humphrey. I think our voting records are quite comparable. I think we're both liberal Democrats. There are some differences in some ways of based on long records, I think, of service, and it's going to give enough for the Democratic voters probably to make a judgment. I don't think there'll be any difficulty for Democrats in primary states to make a judgment between Senator Humphrey or Senator Symington or myself or Senator Morse or any other Democrat. I don't find that difficult. Am I saying it doesn't make much difference? Well, I think Senator Humphrey would be a good nominee, and I'd support him wholeheartedly. Well, my judgment is that the Democrats are going to nominate a good candidate, so that I don't think I'll have any difficulty supporting him. I'll just stick to what I said. I think they're going to support a liberal, progressive, effective, responsible candidate, and I'm sure I'll support him. Of course we'll support him. That's one of the things upon which I would be willing to run.
Senator, do you consider your statement on the vice presidency today to be more firmly negative than past statements?
Yes, I think it's... yes, I would say that it's a final statement today, and I don't think I've made such a statement before.
Senator, you mentioned...
What'd you say?
You said it was a Sherman statement.
I said it was a final statement. I prefer my own language, but both General Sherman and I had the same idea, I think, in this thing.
Senator, you mentioned raising taxes as one possible alternative in having an adequate defense. Are you advocating any form of tax reform?
No, but I mean, I would have no hesitancy in recommending increased taxes if that were the best, those who had responsibility in the field, their best judgment. There are some judgments which would have to be made as to which of the three steps alternatives that I suggested would be used. It would depend in some cases on the state of the economy. It would depend on how many people are unemployed. It would depend on what the increase was in the cost of living, how much of a deficit would contribute to how much inflation, how much of an increase in taxes would contribute to a deflationary movement. So that I think it's a sophisticated economic question, but I don't think that there's any doubt that you're going to have to do more in this and other areas And while normal growth, bringing normal tax increases in revenues, will provide some of the funds, it may well be necessary for us to move into newer areas, and I would have no inhibitions about doing it. I haven't talked to Senator Lausche since last August.
Have you had any other indications?
No.
Senator,
yes? Well, I support federal aid for education. I hope we pass it in this session. In addition, I think we can do more in other areas. I would hope we'd repeal the loyalty oath, which we didn't last session. I would hope we could give more assistance for loans for college dormitories, which was part of the Housing Act, which was vetoed last year by the president and therefore dropped. I would say that the federal role in assisting education should not be confined to just secondary education, because I would say in the next decade, the colleges are going to require additional federal assistance.
And more particularly, would you support a bill for teacher salaries?
I'm not as convinced that that's as wise as teachers. Today, I'm only in favor of school construction. It seems to me it's really better for us to put a substantial federal effort in this area and permit the states to determine the range of teachers' salaries. Once the Congress begins to settle teachers' salaries, I think it raises a good many questions, which I think can be avoided by an effective program of federal aid to education through school construction. Well, my present inclination is that I would support federal aid for school construction.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Senator?